Social Security and Medicare are among the most critical safety nets in American society, yet they remain some of the most misunderstood. Joseph L. Matthews' comprehensive guide, Social Security, Medicare, and Government Pensions, has become the go-to resource for millions of Americans trying to navigate these complex systems. The book has gained cult status among financial advisors and retirement planners, with even Suze Orman recommending it as essential reading for anyone approaching retirement age. What makes this guide particularly valuable is its clarity in demystifying government programs that affect nearly every American's financial security. In a political climate where these programs face constant scrutiny and potential reform, understanding your benefits has never been more crucial. Social Security emerged during the Great Depression when economic hardship was widespread and the elderly faced particularly dire circumstances. In 1935, President Franklin Roosevelt pushed through the Social Security Act, creating a system that would provide a financial cushion for older Americans. Initially offering only retirement benefits, the program expanded in 1939 to include benefits for spouses and children of retired workers, and in 1956 to cover severely disabled workers. Today's Social Security system encompasses several interconnected programs that pay benefits based on a worker's average earnings from covered employment. These benefits aren't based on financial need, but on income earned over a working lifetime on which Social Security taxes were paid. The system tracks earnings and pays four basic categories of benefits: retirement, disability, dependents, and survivors. Despite political rhetoric suggesting imminent collapse, the Social Security system could be fixed through relatively simple adjustments. Options include removing the cap on earnings subject to Social Security tax, currently around $117,000, applying benefit reductions to those with high non-earned income, further raising the full retirement age, or slightly reducing benefits for high-income recipients. Any of these adjustments would significantly improve the system's long-term stability. To qualify for Social Security benefits, workers must accumulate enough work credits through employment covered by Social Security taxes. Most American workers, about 95%, are in covered employment, earning up to 4 Social Security credits annually based on earnings. The number of credits required varies by benefit type and age, with retirement benefits typically requiring 40 credits over a lifetime. Your Social Security benefit amount is calculated based on your lifetime average earnings in covered employment with yearly adjustments for inflation. Only employment income on which Social Security taxes were paid counts toward benefits. Investment income like interest, dividends, and capital gains doesn't factor in. This calculation produces your primary insurance amount, which becomes the basis for all benefit types you might receive. While many envision retirement as a period of contentment and opportunity to pursue long-delayed interests, the reality often differs. Reduced financial resources make it difficult to maintain one's standard of living, and many Americans find themselves continuing to work past their hoped-for retirement age. Social Security retirement benefits help ease this financial strain, though they typically aren't sufficient to maintain pre-retirement living standards. For Social Security purposes, retirement simply means when you begin collecting benefits, not necessarily when you stop working. Two factors determine your retirement benefit amount: your lifetime earnings record and the age at which you claim benefits. While you can claim as early as age 62, doing so permanently reduces your monthly payment compared to waiting until full retirement age, currently 66, gradually rising to 67 for those born in 1960 or later. Despite this reduction, about 60% of eligible people claim early. The reduction for early claiming creates a break-even age, typically in your early 80s. If you live beyond this point, you would have collected more in total lifetime benefits by waiting until full retirement age to claim. Conversely, waiting to claim benefits until after full retirement age permanently increases your monthly payments by 8% per year for those born in 1943 or later, up to age 70. Social Security calculates retirement benefits based on your highest earning 35 years of work, with lower lifetime earners receiving a higher percentage of their pre-retirement income. Middle-income earners typically receive about 40% of their pre-retirement earnings, while lower earners may get 50% and maximum earners about 20%. Many people continue working after claiming Social Security retirement benefits, either for financial necessity or personal fulfillment. However, until you reach full retirement age, Social Security reduces your benefits if you earn above certain thresholds. In recent years, this limit was around $15,480 annually, with benefits reduced by $1 for every $2 earned above this amount. Once you reach full retirement age, you can earn any amount without penalty. Social Security disability benefits provide essential support for over 8 million disabled workers and their families. These benefits are designed for people who develop severe injuries or illnesses before reaching retirement age, making it difficult or impossible for them to work. To qualify for disability benefits, you must have a physical or mental condition that both prevents substantial gain for work, generally defined as work earning $1,070 plus monthly, and is expected to last at least 1 year or result in death. The condition must be medically verifiable. Social Security maintains a list of conditions automatically considered disabling if they meet specific criteria, including serious heart, lung disease, severe arthritis, mental illness with marked limitations, brain damage affecting judgment or memory, progressive cancer, AIDS, and many others. However, any medical condition that prevents substantial gain for work can qualify if properly documented by doctors. Eligibility also depends on having sufficient work credits, which vary based on your age when you become disabled. You can earn up to 4 work credits annually, with the required number ranging from 6 credits for those disabled at ages 21-24 to 40 credits for those disabled at 62 or older. Disability benefit amounts are determined by your age and lifetime earnings record, not just your most recent salary. In recent years, the average monthly payment was around $1,148 for individuals and $1,943 for families. Since disability payments often provide insufficient income, recipients should pursue all available benefits and may supplement with limited work when possible. Social Security encourages disabled individuals to attempt working by providing various protections. These include continued benefits during trial work periods, 9 non-consecutive months within any 5-year period, and expedited reinstatement if returning to work proves too difficult due to the disability. Social Security provides additional benefits to families of retired or disabled workers, recognizing that families need more support than individuals. These dependence benefits help families where the retired or disabled worker was the primary breadwinner. Eligible dependents include spouses 62 or older, divorced spouses 62 plus meeting certain conditions, younger spouses caring for the worker's child under 16 or disabled before 22, unmarried children under 18, unmarried children up to 19 if still in high school, children disabled before 22, unmarried stepchildren under 18 living with the worker, and grandchildren under certain circumstances. For divorced spouses to qualify, both parties must be 62 plus, the marriage must have lasted 10 years, and they must have been divorced for at least 2 years, unless the worker was already entitled to retirement benefits before divorce. Remarriage ends benefits from a former spouse, though you may qualify through your new spouse. The basic benefit for one dependent spouse, divorced spouse, or qualifying child is 50% of the worker's retirement or disability benefit. When multiple dependents are eligible, Social Security applies a family benefit amount limit of 150% to 180% of the retired worker's benefits, or 150% for a disabled worker. Similarly, Social Security provides survivor's benefits to families of deceased workers. Provided the deceased worker had enough work credits, survivor's benefits are available to surviving spouses age 60 or older, divorced surviving spouses age 60 or older if marriage lasted 10 plus years, younger surviving spouses caring for the worker's child under 16 or disabled, disabled surviving spouses age 50 plus if disability occurred within 7 years of worker's death, unmarried children under 18 or 19 if full-time students, disabled unmarried children of any age if disabled before 22, and dependent parents age 62 plus. Survivors' benefits are based on the deceased worker's earnings record and whether they had claimed retirement benefits before death. The percentage awarded varies by relationship and age, with a surviving spouse at full retirement age receiving 100% of the worker's benefit, while those claiming at age 60 receive 71.5%. The timing of your Social Security benefits claim significantly impacts your monthly payment amounts and lifetime totals. Filing before full retirement age means permanently reduced monthly benefits, while delaying can substantially increase them. Your optimal claiming strategy depends on several factors: immediate financial need, continued work plans, life expectancy, and eligibility for multiple benefit types. If health conditions make it unlikely you'll live past your mid-70s, claiming early makes financial sense. However, if you're in good health with a family history of longevity, delaying benefits until full retirement age or beyond will likely result in greater lifetime payments. Many people qualify for both their own retirement benefits and dependents' or survivors' benefits based on a spouse's work record. This creates strategic opportunities that can maximize lifetime payments. For example, you can claim reduced survivors' benefits as early as age 60 without affecting your own retirement benefits, allowing your own benefits to grow while collecting survivors' benefits. Alternatively, you can take reduced retirement benefits early without affecting later survivors' benefits. Married couples can employ tactics like the claim and suspend strategy, where the higher-earning spouse claims retirement benefits at full retirement age, allowing the other spouse to collect dependents' benefits, then immediately suspends their own benefits. This allows the working spouse's benefits to continue growing until age 70, while the non-working spouse collects dependents' benefits. Another approach is filing a restricted application at full retirement age to claim only dependents' benefits while allowing your retirement benefits to grow. This can be advantageous if the dependents' amount isn't significantly lower than your retirement benefit. Supplemental Security Income, SSI, is a vital federal program providing financial support to elderly, blind, or disabled individuals with limited income and resources. Unlike regular Social Security benefits, SSI eligibility is based on financial need, not work history or contributions. This safety net program ensures that America's most vulnerable citizens can maintain a basic standard of living. To qualify for SSI, applicants must meet four fundamental requirements. First, they must be 65 or older, blind, or disabled. The disability criteria follow strict medical guidelines and must prevent substantial gainful activity for at least 12 months or result in death. Second, they must be a U.S. citizen or meet specific residency requirements, including certain categories of legal immigrants. Third, monthly income must fall below established thresholds with different limits for earned and unearned income. Fourth, assets must be worth less than $2,000 for individuals or $3,000 for couples, though important exemptions exist for a primary residence, one vehicle, household goods, and certain burial funds. The basic federal SSI payment in recent years was approximately $721 monthly for individuals and $1,082 for couples, with annual cost of living adjustments based on the Consumer Price Index. Many states recognize that these federal payments alone may be insufficient and provide supplemental payments. For example, California offers substantial state supplements that can increase total benefits by several hundred dollars, while other states like New York and Massachusetts provide modest additions. These state supplements may be administered either federally through the Social Security Administration or directly by state agencies. Income limits and benefit reductions follow specific formulas designed to encourage work while maintaining support for those in need. For earned income, SSI uses a graduated reduction system. Benefits decrease by $1 for every $2 earned above 65 monthly, plus a $20 general income exclusion. This means someone earning $265 would see their SSI reduced by $90. 265 minus 85 equals 180, divided by 2 equals 90. For unearned income, such as Social Security benefits, pensions, or annuities, the reduction is more stringent. Benefits decrease dollar for dollar after the first $20 monthly. Additionally, in-kind support and maintenance, like free housing or food, can reduce benefits through complex valuation rules. The program also includes work incentives, such as the Plan to Achieve Self-Support, PASS, and impairment-related work expenses, IWA deductions, which help beneficiaries pursue employment while maintaining necessary benefits. Recipients may also qualify for concurrent benefits from other programs like Medicaid, food stamps, and housing assistance, creating a comprehensive support system for those facing significant financial and medical challenges. Medicare, established in 1965 despite corporate and political opposition, provides health insurance coverage for over 42 million Americans, mostly those 65 and older. While it covers most hospitalization costs and many medical services, it pays only a portion of covered services and excludes many types of care entirely. Medicare is divided into parts. Part A, hospital insurance, covers inpatient hospital stays and follow-up care. Part B, medical insurance, covers doctors and outpatient care. And Part D covers prescription drugs. Part C refers to Medicare Advantage plans that can replace Parts A and B. Medicare Part A covers inpatient care costs from hospitals and, under certain circumstances, skilled nursing facilities and home health care. Coverage requires doctor-prescribed care that is medically reasonable and necessary. Most people 65 and older qualify for free Part A coverage based on their own or their spouse's work records. Medicare Part B covers doctor bills and many other medical expenses when you're not hospitalized. Anyone age 65 plus who is a U.S. citizen or lawful resident for 5 consecutive years can enroll by paying a monthly premium. Part B covers medically necessary doctor services, outpatient hospital treatment, laboratory testing, ambulance services when medically necessary, and medical equipment and supplies prescribed by doctors. However, Medicare typically pays only about half of total medical bills through 3 main limitations: not covering all major expenses, like routine physicals, some medications, glasses, hearing aids; paying only a portion of what it considers approved charges, usually 80%, and setting approved amounts often below what providers actually charge. Medicare Part D covers prescription medications taken at home through private insurance companies. The program has a complicated cost structure, including monthly premiums, a yearly deductible, co-payments for each prescription, and a coverage gap, the donut hole, where beneficiaries are responsible for a larger portion of costs until reaching a catastrophic coverage threshold. To address Medicare's coverage gaps, beneficiaries can choose between Medigap, Medicare Supplement Insurance policies, or Medicare Advantage plans. Understanding the distinctions between these options is crucial for making an informed healthcare decision. Medigap policies are specifically designed to fill Medicare coverage gaps. Currently, 9 standard Medigap plans are available, labeled A through N, each filling different combinations of Medicare's gaps. Plan G, for example, covers most out-of-pocket costs except the Part B deductible, while Plan N offers lower premiums but requires some co-payments for office and emergency room visits. All standard Medigap policies include certain basic benefits, such as hospital coinsurance amounts under Part A and some or all of the Part B coinsurance amount. Premiums vary widely, even for identical coverage, ranging from $50 to several hundred dollars monthly, making comparison shopping essential. Age, location, and insurance company pricing strategies all affect premium costs. Medicare Advantage plans, Part C, fill gaps in basic Medicare coverage similar to Medigap policies, but operate differently. While Medigap policies work alongside Medicare, with each paying a portion of approved charges, Medicare Advantage enrollees no longer deal directly with Medicare. These plans provide all basic Medicare coverage and often additional benefits like dental, vision, hearing aids, and wellness programs. Coverage extent, premiums, co-payments, and treatment decisions are controlled by the plan rather than Medicare. Many plans include prescription drug coverage, Part D, at no additional cost. Medicare Advantage Managed Care plans charge low monthly premiums, sometimes none at all, and small co-payments in exchange for coverage beyond basic Medicare. However, they limit which doctors and providers you can use and place restrictions on treatments and hospital stays. Types include health maintenance organizations, HMOs, which require referrals from primary care physicians for specialist visits. Preferred provider organizations, PPOs, offering more flexibility but higher costs for out-of-network care. And provider-sponsored organizations, PSOs, which are run by healthcare provider groups. When comparing Medigap and Medicare Advantage plans, consider several key factors. Provider networks. Medigap works with any Medicare provider, while Advantage plans have specific networks. Prescription drug coverage must be purchased separately with Medigap. Premium costs, generally higher for Medigap. Out-of-pocket expenses, typically lower with Medigap. And additional benefits beyond Medicare standard coverage, more common with Advantage plans. Geographic availability also matters, as Medicare Advantage plan options vary by region, while Medigap plans are standardized nationwide. Travel considerations are important too. Medigap typically offers better coverage when traveling domestically or internationally. Annual enrollment periods allow beneficiaries to switch between plans, though certain restrictions may apply when moving from one type of coverage to another. It's advisable to review coverage options yearly, as plan benefits, networks, and costs can change significantly. Federal employees are covered by one of two retirement systems depending on when they were hired. Those employed before 1984 fall under the Civil Service Retirement System, CSRS, while anyone hired after January 1, 1984 is covered by the Federal Employees Retirement System, FERS, which includes Social Security coverage. FERS consists of three components: a basic benefit plan, Social Security benefits, and the Thrift Savings Plan, which functions similarly to a 401k with both employee contributions and government matching. Federal retirement benefits are calculated using two primary factors: years of federal employment and the high three average salary, the average of your three consecutive highest earning years. For FERS employees, the basic retirement benefit generally equals 1% of the high three average salary multiplied by years of service. This percentage increases to 1.1% for those retiring at age 62 or later with at least 20 years of service. Benefits receive annual cost of living increases tied to the Consumer Price Index, similar to Social Security, though FERS adjustments may be lower than CSRS adjustments during periods of high inflation. For veterans, the Department of Veterans Affairs offers comprehensive financial, medical, and other assistance programs. Disability compensation is available for veterans with service-connected disabilities, those wounded, injured, or who became ill during active duty or training. Benefits depend on the seriousness of the disability, rated from 0% to 100% in 10% increments based on how it interferes with an average person's ability to earn a living. As of 2023, monthly compensation rates range from about $165 for a 10% disability to over $3,300 for a 100% disability, with additional allowances for dependents and severe disabilities. Free or low-cost medical care is one of the most valuable veterans' benefits, provided through over 150 VA hospitals nationwide and numerous outpatient clinics. The VA healthcare system offers comprehensive care, including preventative services, mental health treatment, specialized care for women veterans, and long-term care services. Veterans discharged under conditions other than dishonorable may qualify, though those enlisting after September 7, 1980 must have served 24 continuous months. Priority for care is given to veterans with service-connected disabilities and those with lower incomes. Additional VA benefits include education assistance through the GI Bill, home loan guarantees, life insurance programs, and burial benefits. The post-9/11 GI Bill provides extensive education benefits, covering full tuition at public colleges and universities, plus housing allowances and book stipends. VA home loans offer veterans the opportunity to purchase homes with no down payment and competitive interest rates, while also limiting closing costs. Navigating Social Security, Medicare, and government pensions requires understanding your rights and options. When applying for benefits, organization and persistence are key. Keep copies of all documents, note the names of representatives you speak with, and follow up regularly on pending applications. If your claim is denied, remember that nearly all Social Security decisions can be appealed, and many appeals succeed. The four-level appeal process begins with reconsideration at the local office, followed by a hearing before an administrative law judge, an appeal to the National Appeals Council, and finally a federal court lawsuit. For Medicare, understanding enrollment periods is crucial. Apply for Medicare 3 months before your 65th birthday to ensure coverage begins immediately when you turn 65. Delaying enrollment beyond 3 months after your birthday means waiting until the following January to enroll in Part B, with coverage not beginning until July 1 of that year. Remember that you have the right to representation at every stage of the Social Security appeals process. This can be a lawyer specializing in Social Security matters, a non-lawyer advocate, or even a family member who can help organize documents and present your case. Every state offers a nonprofit organization for consumer counseling about Medicare and related matters, operating under the name State Health Insurance Assistance Program, SHIP, or Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program. These organizations provide free guidance that can help you navigate these complex systems and make the most of your benefits.